Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of Song of Solomon. I do hope that God gets the glory. Amen. Perilous days, but it's a great day. You know why you weren't born 100 years ago? It wasn't your time. Your time, my time, our time is now. We are on the scene as appointed of God for such a time as this. God is wanting us to stand. God wants us to shine. God wants us to speak. God wants us to be what He needs us to be in these last days. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. Pray for us. Our voices seem like it's giving us a little bit of trouble. We've already preached twice today. This will be our third time. And I'm not complaining. I'm just explaining. So I may have to stop and take a drink of water every now and then. I'm interested, as I mentioned this morning, a question. And it has been feeding me still yet, even throughout the day. In verse number 5 of chapter 8, the question is being asked about the Shulamite and her lover, her husband, Solomon. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Look at that question again. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I was curious even today about the definition of that word leaning. And I discovered, and I also wanted to look and see where else that it is used. You know, if you listen to me preach much, you'll know that that's one of my, methods of study, is I like to look elsewhere in the Scripture where that same word, not the same English word, but the same Hebrew word, Old Testament, Greek, New Testament, whatever, and see where else it's used and in the setting it's used in. And there's sometimes some great things that unfold through that. But I found out that this word that is translated in our King James Bible in chapter 8, verse 5, as the word leaning, this is the only time in the entire Bible that it is used. What about that? I thought that was interesting. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Now we could jump on where we were at this morning and labor the point of how our country and our world is in every sense of the word becoming more and more a wilderness. The definition of the word wilderness, one of the definitions that we could relate to, is it is a desert. It is a desolate place, a dry place. It is certainly not a vacation spot. Nobody would ever choose to go to a desert for a vacation, or at least anybody with any sense would. Amen? It's a place where God never meant for anybody hardly to live. If you live there, you are one tough cookie. Amen. If you remember, Brother Godfrey and his wife, Miss Linda, they were missionaries in the Sahara Desert for a number of years. And I mean, he's give details and descriptions of that when he's here with us. And he'll be here again with us in August next month on a Sunday. And they told about all of that. And I mean, there was no conveniences, no electricity, no air conditioning. Help us, Lord. Amen. No Walmart. That's the end of the world. None of that, but yet they not only lived in the Sahara Desert, but they was a witness, and they won those people to the Lord that lived there. But I have no desire to go there. We'll pray for them, pray for whoever goes, but I don't have no desire. I mean, it was too hot today for me. I mean, I wouldn't want to go to hell if it was just 90 degrees. How many's with me right there? And I'm glad I'm not going. Amen. But we could talk about how that this country is more and more morally and politically and in every way you want to talk about it, it is in fact becoming a wilderness. And one thing that I've been seeing in my own life about a wilderness, our country being a wilderness, and that wilderness has gotten into some of our churches. And I'm afraid that some of that wilderness has got into some of our lives. And it took this time of testing to reveal that that is the case. I don't know anybody in here, maybe besides me, that have come to this conclusion that I don't think I was as spiritual as I thought I was. Now, I know you wouldn't have made that statement. That's why I'm up here trying to be transparent and honest. Amen. I believe that we've all discovered in the last 4 or 5 months that we probably were not where we thought we were. Trials, wilderness experiences will surface your lack and will surface what's missing. When it's sunshiny and everything's smooth and everything's easy going, it's easy to kindly just look like you're going right and doing right, looking like you're spiritual. I wonder how many in here like that is like that. Others think you're this, but really you're that. Oh, yeah. But we could talk about the wilderness, but I don't want to focus on the wilderness. And I think that's why what our problem is in our day. It's easy to get focusing on the wilderness to where all we think about is the wilderness. All we talk about is the wilderness. All the research we do and everything we listen to is in some way connected to the wilderness. Am I right on that? And I'm going to tell you, I can say for myself, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it in my life. I can't stand to hardly even listen to the news. Because you know that it's going to be, if it's our news in our day, for the most part, it's going to be unreliable. So why listen to it? Amen. And so, but I'm sick of that. I don't want to hear about the wilderness. Everything is about the wilderness, and it's probably going to get worse between now and November. It's going to get worse. No telling what's going to be hatched out. No telling what other contaminations that's going to surface, or at least medially is going to surface. No telling. To try to keep an element of fear over people. Because if they can create fear, they can create control. If you can get people afraid, then they're gonna listen to everything that they're told to do. That's right. Including the Jews, they were talked into being loaded up on those boxcars and taken to concentration camps and then ultimately to the gas chamber. Yeah. You need to listen. I'm going to just insert this. This is not biblical. It's not anything spiritual, but I think it's good advice. We are in a day of technology. We all have access to the internet that's literally crammed full of data. Their ignorance is no excuse. Do your own research. Stand on your own 2 feet. And you won't have to go off of what you're being told because you know. Say amen right there. All right. I'm going to get off that before I get on the mask thing. I don't want to get on the mask thing. But there's somebody else in this picture. You say, really? There's somebody else in this picture? Yeah, there's somebody else in this picture that's in this verse. But it's hard to talk about them or him. More accurately, if all you talk about is the wilderness. All you think about is the wilderness. All you hear about is the wilderness. It's hard to think about that there is a beloved in the picture. Amen. Now, if you look at him, from what is shown here in this question, there's nothing wrong with him. He's not weak. He's doing his job. He's doing more of his job. In fact, he's doing all of his, and he's carrying her pretty much. She's leaning on him. But how many testimonies are about the beloved? How many people are testifying about you leaning upon your beloved. May the Lord help us with that. You know, I asked the question this morning, how are we going to make it? How are we going to survive? How are we going to deal with not just what's going on now, but what's going on to go on in the next days, weeks, months, and even years to come? How are we going to deal with that? Brother Zach, here's a deep subject. You ready? Drove all the way from Virginia to hear it. We're going to deal with the future the same way we've been dealing with the past. Leaning upon the Lord. Look at what you've already been through. Look at where you've already been, and you didn't think you was going to make it at times. And you're still here, and you know what brought you through? No. Not what brought you through, who brought you through. Thank God. There's a beloved in the picture. Why would we not want to sing about him? Why would we not want to preach about him? Why would we not want to testify about him? Why would we not, in the midst of a wilderness, brag upon our beloved? Isn't that amazing? In fact, listen to this. This is good. If you look at what is said in this passage and what's going on in that question mark, that question, you couldn't even tell that he was in a wilderness. There was no indication of the wilderness on him. He was in it, but not of it. You know why she was leaning on him? The wilderness was wearing her out. But you don't find him weak. You don't find him out of breath. You don't find him complaining. Honey, you're going to have to get away from me. I'm doing well to make it on my own. No, he just sung her a sweet song. Something that might be like this. Lean on me when you're sad. Huh? You think he might have said that? I can handle it, honey. You're weak, I'm not. I'm strong. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Lean on me. I can handle it. Amen. You're going to make it because I can make it. But I want us to look at this question and look at some things tonight. And this is just a refreshment to my own heart. That word leaning simply means to recline. How many's got a recliner? What do you do in it? Come on now. Who said that? In a recliner, do you recline? In other words, you just kind of, just all of you's on it. How many of you just sit on the edge of it? Brother Ron, you got a recliner? Sure he does. He's nodding his head and smiling. So you don't sit down in a recliner just kind of, this is my recliner. You don't just kind of sit down on the edge of it and talk about how comfortable and what a wonderful recliner this is. When you just part of you's on it, no, a recliner's made for all of you to get on it and in it and kick back and to where the recliner has full support of you. All of you is in it. All of you is on it. In great comfort at that. Amen. So that's what the word means. It means to recline. It means to find rest. Amen. Well, that's good, isn't it? And so the first thing that I want us to notice is, and this is so simple, and I got these things just by meditating and on this scene and looking at this particular question. And I'm not interested if I've said any of this before. I'm interested in that fact that I need it now. We need it again now. We need it. The first thing that stuck out to me was there was an awareness of leaning. Somebody's asking the question, who is this that cometh up leaning upon her beloved? Somebody else is watching. Somebody else is noticing what is taking place. Amen. She was leaning on him. So there's the awareness of leaning. And don't you think that it ought to help us in these days to watch our choices because of the fact people are watching? Mamas, daddies, your children's watching. Your family's watching. Ladies and gentlemen, people you're around, you live around, they're watching. Amen. People you work with are watching. People are watching your life. They're watching your footsteps. They're watching everything about you. I wonder, when they watch you, do they see you leaning upon your beloved? Amen. When I say watch you, I'm not talking about, they're not interested in just watching, looking at you. They're not interested in just looking at you. They're seeing you lean on your beloved. So there is, and it's worth mentioning, that there is an awareness, a detection. People are noticing. I'll tell you who else is watching. Sinners are watching. People that are lost are watching. Amen. What are they seeing? If they're watching, what are they seeing? Paul talked about us being an open spectacle. Open spectacle unto people. You know, we're like that screen right there. Where people... The word there for spectacle, it's where we get our word theater. People's watching your life on a big screen. What are they seeing? I know I've already said it, but I want to say it again. Your children's watching. You know why Noah won his children to God? They were watching him. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. And Ham, Shem, and Japheth was watching his life. Amen. Now I want to ask you, Daddy, I know it's not Father's Day, but is your children watching your life, and what are they seeing? Do they have confidence in you? I tell you what, this is just my opinion. Don't have a Bible verse. I'm being honest. If you're a father and a mother and your children has passed the age of accountability a good while back and they're still lost, here's what I think we ought to do. You ought to take the blame for that. That's pretty stout. Just do like this right here. Swallow, you get it down. You ought to take the blame. You ought to look at that personally and say, you know what? Little Junior's not saved. Must be that I'm not showing them what they need to see. I'm not being the Christian I need to be. Mamas ought to think the same way. You know what? Maybe I'm not what I need to be. I need to tighten up. I need to be a greater Christian. I need to pray more. I need to walk with God more so we can help win our children to Jesus. So there's an awareness of leaning here. Leaning is attractive. Watching people trust the Lord is attractive. May the Lord help us with that. A second thing, and we're moving right along. A second thing is that I notice here that it tells us something about the arrangement of leaning. The arrangement of leaning. Where do you get that at, preacher? Look at the question again. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness leaning upon her beloved? Do you see the arrangement there? How many sees it? The arrangement is that she's leaning on him, not him leaning on her. How many's glad it's that way? I'm glad he's not leaning on me, because I would have let him down. He would have done fail because I would have dropped him. He's not leaning on me. He's not leaning on her. She is leaning upon him. And that's the way it ought to be. Amen. I think sometimes I get in a defeated fashion, a shape, mentality, because I'm leaning on myself. It's easy to trust yourself. It's easy to lean on yourself. I can do this. I got this. How many's told yourself, I got this? I can fix that. I can outlast that. I can outdo that. Kids, and I'm not going to disappoint them right here, but a lot of times kids think daddy can do anything. And I had a daddy that could do most anything. But you know what? Really, there was a lot they can't do. But we, as God's children, ought to think about our Heavenly Father. He can do anything. There's nothing impossible with Him. So there's an arrangement. Listen, who are you leaning on tonight? Who's leaning on you tonight? So there's an arrangement there. Her leaning on Him shows that she had confidence in Him. Do you think this is the first time she leaned on Him? Probably not. She's probably leaned on him before. And so it was a trust issue. She trusted him. She had confidence in him to where that she could lean on him and know with confidence that he was stronger than her weakness. Oh, I like that myself. The word lean in there is, and I just write this down, I study, and I can write stuff down. The word leaning there is in a participle mood, meaning an action or condition in its unbroken continuity. That is, she leaned and kept on leaning and kept on leaning and kept on leaning and kept on leaning. You know what our problem is? My problem, I'll lean and then quit. I'll lean and then quit. I'll lean when I'm having a bad Monday, or I'm leaning when I'm not doing well, and then when I feel better, I quit leaning. God wants us to need him. God wants us to need him, have access to him, and lean on him 24/7. Amen. I can't make it in the storm, and you want to know what else is true? I can't make it in the sunshine without him. You take him away from me, I'm a failure, and I will fall. Thank God he's the one holding me up. Amen. So there's an arrangement stated here and is revealed here. Amen. A third thing that I want to mention quickly, and that is the ability of leaning. There's an ability that's revealed here in this question. See if you can detect it when we read it. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon, sorry for the emphasis, leaning upon her beloved? There is an ability shown in that word upon. That is, he can handle it. No matter what you're feeling, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're fighting, I'm glad to report to you that Jesus Christ, our beloved, has the strength and ability to uphold you. Amen. If he can uphold me, then I can lean upon him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't you think that would be something that would help us as we face all this uncertain days? Now I wish I could get up here tonight and say, well, it's going to get better. You'd like to hear that, wouldn't you? But you wouldn't believe it. And I don't believe it. It's probably going to get worse. I don't like that no more than you do. But I'm trying to be a realist. You can feel it. It's changed. America has changed. You don't just see it and hear it. You can just feel it. The America that I've grown up in for my 59 years is changing, and it'll probably never be the America that once was. How many likes that? I don't like it. I despise it. I hate it. I hate it. But if prophecy is involved, you can't change it. God still wants us to vote. God still wants us to stand. God wants us to live right. God wants us to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. He wants us still to do that. He still wants us to go to church. He still wants us to sing about him and worship him and tithe and give to missions and support missionaries. Amen. He still wants us to do all that. He does not want us... Listen, I'm telling you, he does not want us to get into this feel and see first. Wait and see. You talking about difficulty? It's booking missionaries with all this mess going on. And some's even canceled. You know, we can't come. Had ones coming in from New York, and they're of course, you know, Miss Connie, you can give a definite on that, and they're just He said, we're so quarantined that we don't even know if we can even get out of town. Are you listening? And so I almost got in the mentality of thinking, well, maybe we just need to do something else concerning our missions and missions month and all that. And then I thought, well, that's not faith. That's not leaning on the Lord. That's not trusting the Lord. That's a wait and see. Let's see what happens. Let's see what the news is going to be in the next month or so before we start doing anything. I don't want to get caught up in that. I want to do as most as we can to be normal and to get back. Listen, I don't want to get back to the old RBT that used to be. I want us to be the RBT God wants us to be in this hour in which we're living. If we're in the last days, how many believes we're in the last days? As far as we can tell, we're in the last days. I want RBT to be a last day church. We need last day preaching. We need last day Christianity. We need to be a light, last day light. We need to be a last day voice. We do. Amen. And may the Lord help us to do that. Anyway, the ability that's shown there. She has the ability of leaning, and he's got the ability to hold her up. Aren't you glad of that? I know I said that real quick, but are you glad that you've got an ability to lean on him? You've got an access to lean on him? Amen. That's right. So there's the ability that's there. And I wrote this down today. His ability was her reliability. She relied on him because he has proven himself to be adequate. He has proven himself to be sufficient. He has proven himself to be greater than the wilderness. You know why he wasn't wobbling? You know why he wasn't struggling? It's because the wilderness does not control nor confine him. Amen. Amen. You said, preacher, I'm weak. Lean on him. Lean on him. Amen. There's the ability that's shown in that question. Amen. He knew up front that she had nothing to offer. I mean, she's weak enough to where she's having to lean. What is she going to offer? What is she going to donate? What is she going to give? You know, most people, when they take their marriage vows, what's usually in the marriage vows? Better or worse. Isn't that right? Don't raise your hand. I started to say, how many has already found that out? Jesus knew when he got us what he was getting. He knew that we were going to be the weak ones. He knew that we were going to need him more than we realized. But you know what? He stepped into the relationship with his eyes wide open, full knowledge of what we didn't have to give, what we were going to need him to be. He needed to be our sufficiency. How many's found him to be true? He is our sufficiency. I wrote this down while the youth choir was singing. I wrote this down in my Bible while the youth choir singing. You know, there's a whole lot of things that are not even mentioned in that question. Who is this that coming up leaning upon her beloved? You know what's not mentioned there? Family. Not one thing said about her family. No mama's mentioned. No daddy's mentioned. Brothers, sisters mentioned. You know why? Brother Aaron, you know why? God is wanting you to see that you can be everything you're needing to be, whether your family's with you or whether they're not with you. Amen. The family's not even mentioned. Friends are not mentioned. Not one time is a friend in the equation there. It's just the wilderness, the beloved, and her. That's it. Amen. That's it. Well, that's right. No finances are mentioned. No maps are mentioned. Well, I'd lean on him if he'd tell me where he's taking me. I'd lean on him if he would show me the end result before I ever get there. Well, yes, you know why we like it that way? It does not require faith. It does not require faith when it's that way. That's right. The world's view says, show it to me and I'll believe it. God's view is, You believe it and I'll show it to you. No maps are mentioned. No options are mentioned. No plan B. You lean on Him, that's the only option there is. You trust Him, that's the only option there is. I wonder how many of us are doing that. You know what? I believe if we're defeated, I believe that's an indicator that we're not. When I'm defeated, and I do get defeated, but it's always my fault. When I get defeated, it's because my mind got off my beloved and my mind got on my wilderness. Every single time. So there's the ability of leaning that is shown here in this passage. I like this one. This one probably, this right here is probably one of the baseline of this whole question. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her? What's the next word? Say it loud. Beloved. That's a term of intimacy. That's a term of affection. We're not talking about just leaning on a stranger. We're talking about leaning on her beloved. Do we understand? Do we understand that when we lean upon the Lord, it shows that He loves us. But it also shows that we love Him. He is our beloved. That's great, I think. Amen. She was leaning upon her beloved, not just anybody. Listen, not just anybody can carry you in these days. Not just anybody can support and hold you up in these days. You may have friends that would mean well and would try, but they can't. Sometimes they can't be there. They're busy. Sometimes you try to call them, their phone don't work. Amen. How many's tried to call somebody and their battery is dead? Well, two, three. We're getting an excellent response tonight. So friends is not really the 100% option. They mean well and they'll do what they can. But sometimes they just can't be what you need because they can't be there at the timing that you need it. They don't have the resources you need. They don't have the strength you need. They don't have the know-how that you need. They don't have, amen, because they're carrying their own weight. They're having their own issues to deal with, amen. But I'm glad that my Savior, my beloved, He is adequate. He's on the job. He is able all the time. Thank God for the affection that's seen here. Could it be that people does not lean upon the Lord because of a lack of love? What is it, in light of this question, what is it that would measure or define or indicate her affection? Her closeness. She was close enough to lean. You can't lean from a distance, right? She was close enough. So that right there in itself showed that she had an affection. There was affection in this relationship. I wondered tonight, do we lean on Him or do we not lean on Him based on our affection or the lack of it? Or the lack of it. So there's the affection of leaning. No love, no leaning. Her reliance was attached to her romance, vice versa. A love problem produces a leaning problem. This is a good point right here. Her intimacy was more visible than her identity. They said, "Who is this?" They didn't even know who she was. Who is this? But they could tell by just watching and observing. I don't know who it is, but I know this. She's in love with whoever it is she's leaning on. Amen. The affection of leaning. The authority of leaning. When you lean upon someone, guess what that does? That takes the authority away from you and puts it on the one you're leaning on. It takes the authority away. In other words, if I'm leaning on Him, I'm trusting Him to make the choice in my direction. I can trust Him. I can lean on Him. I can rely upon Him. A lot of times people don't want to lean on the Savior because they don't want Him calling the shots in their life. They don't want Him making the decisions in their life. Well, I'll lean on you, Lord, if you'll lead me in this direction. I'll lean on you, Lord, if you will let me tell you where to lead me. But that don't happen, does it? That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Amen? Listen, her weakness is what allowed Him to lead her and direct her. As she leaned on Him, she offered no resistance. He was able to make choices and decisions and directions, changes and all of that on what He knew was best. The point there made is if we will lean on Him, He will lead us. If we don't lean on Him, He can't lead us. That's right. See, we're wanting Him to fix it without changing our life. We want Him to fix everything without changing our life. Oh my. Someone said this, and I wrote it down. He leads best because He knows best. He leads best because His leadership involves and includes Himself. If you're leaning on Him and He's leading, then you're going where He's going, and He's going where you're going. Of course, He's going to choose best because it includes Him. If He's leading, He must go there first. He will always choose the best for those who leave the choice with Him. You can trust Him. Number five, there's an advantage of leaning. Leaning keeps your weakness from losing and the wilderness from winning. Well, that's good, isn't it? I think the Lord gave that to me yesterday. Leaning keeps your weakness from losing and your wilderness from winning. Without Him, the wilderness would win, wouldn't it? She would have never made it up and out of the wilderness if it hadn't have been for Him. Your wilderness is bigger than you, but will never be bigger than your beloved. Our wilderness and weakness does not wear Him down or out as it does us. God told Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9, my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Amen. For when I'm weak, verse 10, for when I'm weak, then am I strong. Oh, I like that. We lean on Him because He's our support and our strength. Our lasting, our enduring, persevering, it depends upon our leaning. If we lean upon Him and learn to do that, you're going to have to, Miss Vicki sang it this morning, you have to learn that. You just don't wake up one morning and lean on the Lord and got it all figured out. That's something you got to learn. Sometimes you learn through failing. Sometimes you learn through, oh, boy, I tried to handle that myself, and I tried to figure all that out myself. Yeah, God help us. All right, listen to this. Number six, there's an advancement shown in this passage. When it says, who is this that cometh, E-T-H, cometh up from the wilderness, that showed progress, that showed motion, that showed ground gained. Ground gain, advancement. Some view their wilderness as inescapable. But if you lean upon Him, He's able to take you up and out and away from the wilderness. Amen. The word cometh up in this passage. Listen to the definition. The word cometh up means to depart, to excel, to cause to ascend, to grow or to shoot forth as this is in the definition, as vegetation. How many's got a garden or had a garden or wish somebody had a garden? When you plow the ground and you lay the furrow open and you put the seed in, then you cover it over. It's out of sight. Remember the definition? It means to shoot forth as vegetation. How many times your wilderness looked to be what was burying you? Looked like it was going to be the termination of you. But in fact, it wasn't the termination of you. It was the germination of you. When you plant that seed, it may be out of sight. It looks like it's over for a while. But next thing you know, life shoots forth. Your wilderness looks like will be your grave. But you, amen. Through leaning upon Him, He advances you and causes you to shoot forth, to extend the boundaries, is what that means. And that cometh up is the participle mood, same as we saw earlier, on leaning, which meant leaning and keep on leaning, unbroken continuity. Same identical participle mood is this word cometh, E-T-H, cometh up. That is, you're continually and consistently gaining ground, coming up from the wilderness. I like that myself. There's all kind of benefits from leaning upon the Lord. Her leaning in the wilderness, listen, her leaning in the wilderness shows her dependence upon her beloved. But her dependence upon her beloved led to her departure from the wilderness. I like that word from. Cometh up from the wilderness. If you lean on Him, He'll put separation between you and the world, between you and your wilderness. And a lot of people won't lean on Him on account of that. Yep, that's right. Cometh up, it speaks of elevation. Cometh up from the wilderness speaks of separation. And cometh up from the wilderness speaks of destination. So you have elevation, separation, and destination there. I like that. I believe we sing a song in the choir, Lean On Me. I sung just a phrase of it a while ago. Lean on me. There are times I feel so blue and I don't know what to do. Then I bow on bended knees, and He says, my child, lean on me. Lean on me when you are sad. There's a better day ahead. Soon the lights of home you'll see. So my child, just lean on me. Sometimes life is like a wilderness, oh, so dry and full of stress. Then a voice so tenderly says, my child, just lean on me. What kind of effort's involved in leaning upon the Lord? And I know that if we don't get the principle here, we're going to struggle in the days ahead. Young people, if you don't get a hold of the principle of leaning upon the Lord, learning to lean upon the Lord yourself. It's good to lean on your mom and daddy. It's good to lean on people like that. But I'm going to tell you, there'll be times that they'll not be where they need to be. There'll be times they'll not be what they need to be. You need to learn to have your own relationship, reliance, dependence upon the Lord. And you need to learn to find Him to be enough. Amen. When there's nothing mentioned in that passage except a wilderness, her and her beloved, she found out that He was enough. Listen to this. I wrote this down yesterday, or this morning, I mean. Let's see if I can find it here. Listen to this. Leaning is difficult. You know why? Because it's a transferring of trust from self to your support. Leaning is not easy Because you're having to take trust away from yourself and put it on the support or that which you are going to lean on. I wrote this down also. Leaning on the surrounding wilderness that offers no natural resources. How many people's leaning upon the very thing that's weakening you? Leaning upon your wilderness that offers no natural resources, but continues to deplete and drain you, indication of this are when we discourage, defeated, down, declining, are all signs that we have been depending upon, leaning upon our wilderness. Brother Aaron, you know what we're capable of doing? We're capable of leaning on our very problem. The very thing that's weakening us, the very thing that's wearing us down, wearing us out, is the thing that we'll lean on if we're not careful. You say, "Preach, how do you know that?" Because I've done it many times. Leaning upon, putting my focus on, putting my dependence on the very thing that's the problem. When we've got a beloved that's there ready, willing, and able to support us, hold us up, lead us on. You never see him getting tired. You never see him, his strength weakening. Isn't that good? Boy, I'm glad we can face tomorrow with a Savior, with a beloved that is greater than the wilderness. I'm going to tell you, just looking at the situation as I have and you have, it looks big. Don't it? Doesn't it? It looks big. It looks bleak. It looks bad. And it is certainly bigger than me. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than us. But it's not bigger than him. Those people that founded this country, they would have never, never, never been able to accomplish that without leaning upon God. And I had it put in the bulletin, some of the statements that were made by Patrick Henry and George Washington and so forth. You're to look up some of the founding fathers and statements that they made about that exhibited their faith and reliance and dependence upon God. But we're in a day where they want to kick God out of everything. Schools, politics, everything. That's not a dependence on him. That's trying to stand on our own, and God will not allow that happen. Amen. Listen to these three verses, and I'm done. They're in your bulletin, Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. I trust you'll remember that when you go to the polls in November. So, preach, you telling us who to vote for? Well, I quote you this verse. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. I'm thankful for what this day represents, the birthday of our country. I tell you what you ought to do when you get a chance. You ought to do some research. Do your own research on the price that was paid. How many people died on those three ships that was coming over here? How many people died after they got here? How many people died the first winter they were here? They weren't snowflakes. They weren't snowflakes, buddy. When they left their old soil and they set sail, and they discovered America. I want to tell you, friend, they knew that some of them wasn't going to make it. But they were willing to die for the cause. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, listen, They paid that price to found this country, to start this country. And it's in a mess now. And we may have to pay the price to keep it going. We may have to pay the price. We're to look at it that way. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we come in Jesus' name. And I ask you, Lord, to help us tonight. Pray, Lord, your will be done. Help us, Lord, to lean on you. I need to lean on you, Lord. I have before. I found you always to be sufficient. I found you always to be strong. I've never found you confused, not knowing what to do, not able to handle, Lord, our problems, our weight, our burdens. When we had nothing to contribute to you except our weakness and an extra load, Lord, you, because of love, accepted us to just lean on you, trust you. And Lord, I don't know what we're going to face tomorrow. I don't know what we're going to face this week, next month. I don't know what we're going to face by the end of this year. And Lord, I felt strong, felt a witness in my heart several times that I needed to deal with this subject today. Because if we don't learn to practice leaning upon you, Lord, and all that that implies, the wilderness is not only going to wear us out, it's going to wear us down. You never meant, dear Father, for us to die in the wilderness. You never meant for that. We're just passing through this wilderness. And if we'll lean on you, you'll take us home. Lord, help every young person, young lady, young man, help them to start developing their reliance upon you, their dependability upon you, their dependence. They need to learn early in their Christian journey that they can, in fact, trust the Lord. That your strength is made perfect in our weakness. Help us as parents. Lord, help our marriages, our homes, husband and wife. As we are living in stressful days, Lord, we're living in days where our faith is going to be tried, our fellowship is going to be tried. And if we're not careful, we'll start wrestling with flesh and blood. We'll start viewing each other as an enemy. And we'll start falling out with one another, and fellowship will be broken. Instead of wrestling with principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to help me, Lord. Lord, I'm in this position in such a time as this. And Lord, I have no desire whatsoever to lead this church wrong. And I feel so inadequate. Lord, I feel so weak, feel so incapable of leading this flock in these uncertain days. And I don't know how, but if you'll show me, Lord, I'll try my best to do it. But I know, Lord, we're going to need each other. We need our church family to be tight together. Unity, harmony, fellowship, walking with God, going in the same direction, being strong. Lord, I don't believe for a second, Lord, that you're wanting us to just be a last day church assembly where we just come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and assemble. Lord, I believe you're wanting us to be an influence. I believe, Lord, you're wanting our church to be an example. Some churches are falling away into liberality, wickedness, immorality. discouragement. Lord, I can't get the pastor off of my mind that I spoke with him from Mississippi, who could barely hold his head up, he said. I can't even get my people to come back to church. My heart goes out to him, Lord. And Lord, I believe with all my heart you're wanting RBT to be what we need to be, so that when we get prayer requests and word and details of people like that, that we as a church family can bear them up in prayer and make a difference. That we could pray for our country. And we could pray for our president and the presidential election that's coming up. Could we pray for those in authority, those that's in leadership? Lord, I don't believe you want RBT to just be another church with a steeple stuck in the air. I believe you're wanting us to be an influence. But I know that that will not happen and cannot happen if we're just operating in a casual temperature, a casual Christianity situation.